For the body, issue House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 105 Finance. Pass the House under reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 1 nay.
And so, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 105 Finance has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Madam Majority Leader. Court rule changes?
Just a moment.
Brevities.
Unanimous consent that the court rule changes. The roll call vote on the bill is the roll call vote on the court rule changes.
Without objection, the court rule changes are adopted. Without objection, I would like to return up the calendar to bills for introduction. Madam Clerk.
House Bill 276 by Representative Wilson entitled An Act Relating to Nursing, Nurses, and Nurse Aides.
It will be referred to Labor and Commerce and Hess. Okay, we have, I think, reached a point where most people are getting hungry, so let's say we will take an at-ease and return at 1 o'clock. We already... Are we ready to read 218, is it? Okay. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
CS for Senate Bill 218, Transportation Amended, entitled An Act Relating to International Airports Revenue Bonds and Requiring that the Spending Plan for the International Airports Construction Fund include information about the amounts spent during the previous fiscal year for cost overruns on certain projects and the identification of time delays on certain projects relating to customer facility charges to fund facilities in airports to be constructed without using international airport revenue bonds and providing for an effective date. We're in third reading.
Discussion. Representative Rookberg.
Mr. Speaker, really the title speaks for itself. This authorizes an increase of $142.9 million in the authorization to the international airport system revenue bonds and allows for the construction of capital projects in the fiscal years 02 and 03. An example of the monies that this will authorize is something that's near and dear to the people of my district. It's a noise abatement problem where these bonds will authorize a small amount of state match with the federal money available. It provides monies for both the Anchorage and the Fairbanks International Airport and provides for a new system of a payment of revenue bonds by establishing a customer facility charge. Now, this is the customer facility. The customers are the airlines, but they will amortize the debt service on these bonds by payments directly to the bond trustee, and they will not show up as part of the budget. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask a positive vote on this bill.
Thank you, Representative Rookberg. Any further discussion? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I put a call in the House?
A call placed on the House. While we're awaiting the satisfaction of the call, or is there any other debate on SB 218? Seeing none, we'll stand at ease. Order. Call having been satisfied, the motion before the body is the adoption of committee substitute for SB 218, Transportation Amended. Any further discussion? Ready for the question. Question before the body is shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 218, Transportation Amended. Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
40 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 218, Transportation Amendment has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item? No. Without objection, I'd like to roll the next item to the bottom of the calendar. With endorsement. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to remove the call.
The call has been removed with the effective action on the motion. Would the clerk please read then the next item after 29? Brevities. Because of our action on SB 176, I'm returning House Concurrent Resolution 19 to the Rules Committee so that it can join its friend. Would the clerk please read the next item?
CS for Senate Joint Resolution 28, Hess. Urging dissemination of information about the costs of long-term care services and the availability of long-term care insurance for individuals. We're in third reading.
Discussion. Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This resolution put together by Representative, or Senator, I'm sorry, member from the other body, from Fairbanks, is kind of a result of some of the things that the long-term task force brought up. And that is a recognition that we're going to have a lot of people from the baby boom age moving into long-term care. And this resolution is asking for two basic things, and that is to, for the dissemination of information and for an examination by Congress on any tax penalties that might apply here. So, and for those of us who are in the baby boom age, myself just turning 50, I suppose long-term care insurance would be the next thing on my to-do list. And I would encourage all of you, but really this is to make that information public and to encourage people in every direction we can. And if you look on page 2, lines 10 through 19, the first resolve talks about the cost of care services and a warning that Medicare is and Medicaid are not going to cover those services, where I think we have a large group of population that believe that that, in fact, will. And you have to go and become impoverished for that, in fact, to happen. And I think that needs to be something that is clearly told. And then to make themselves informed. And I think that's part of our responsibility. And certainly, if we don't take that responsibility, then we will get a different responsibility along with it. So I commend this to your approval.
Representative Coghill, any further discussion? Representative Hayes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to declare conflict. My company sells long-term care insurance, and this bill will probably enhance my income.
There is objection. You will be required to vote. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 28, Hess, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
48-0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 28, Hess, has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the citations be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. A brief at ease. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we take up HCS for community substitute for Senate Bill 72 resources under reconsideration.
Under reconsideration, we have SB 72, resources. Is there discussion? Ready for the question. The question before the body is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for SB 72, resources? Pass the House. Briefities. Madam Majority Leader, when we bring these up, we better read the title because we're going to be going through them pretty quick. And if anybody's got a question after you hear the title, just call and at ease and we'll figure it out. But we got a bunch of these to do, so if we can do them, let's try. Anyway, the motion before the body under reconsideration is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 72 Resources. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 8 nays.
And so under reconsideration, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 72 Resources has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move reconsideration on House CS for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for SB 149 Finance, and that's an act relating to the reemployment of retired teachers.
149. Any discussion? Question before the body is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 149 Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 3 nays.
And so, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 149 Finance has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we take up HCS for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 158 Finance under reconsideration. It is an act directing the Commissioner of Revenue to prepare a report to the legislature relating to the states participating in owning and financing a gas pipeline project and providing for an effective date.
Is there discussion?
Question.
Question before the body. As soon as I find it. Shell, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 158 Finance. Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 2 nays.
And so House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 158 Finance has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Madam Majority.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we bring up under consideration HCS for CS and the Bill 172 Judiciary, an act relating to the annual report by the court system to the public and the legislature.
Without objection, we have SB 172 before us for reconsideration. Is there discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 172 Judiciary? Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Didn't make it. Light finger Porter, I was going. Now, with the board locked, Representative Davies. Yes to no, Representative Davies. Representative Guess. Representative Hogan. Anyone else wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk.
33 yeas, 6 nays.
And so, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 172 Judiciary has passed the House.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Kukesh.
Mr. Speaker, could we
Go up the calendar, introduction of guests.
Without objection, introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Paradovich Gallery behind me from one of my communities in my district, Mr. Doug Edenshani's son, Kobe, from Kluwak. And I'd also like to introduce you to an individual who's worked for me for a lot of years. You've probably seen him around the building, but many of you may not know that he's one of the few people in Alaska to ever been interviewed and a story done about him in a Sports Illustrated from Alaska, Mr. Dewey Scan. And would you please welcome him here to Juneau.
Representative Harris.
We're going to try this all over again.
Okay.
Our wonderful aviation bill, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move that we rescind our previous action in adopting the conference committee substitute on HB 127.
Without objection, we have rescinded our action in adopting the conference committee report on HB 127. Representative Harris.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move that we vote on the conference committee report and not concur.
Motion before the body is to concur with the conference committee report on HB 127 with a recommendation not to. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like some discussion on this and the representative from Valdez to tell us why.
Representative Harris.
Mr. Speaker, there's been a little difficulty with the Department of Fish and Game that they would like to correct, and the member from the other body who added some parts to this bill has agreed to go back into conference committee to correct the problem that the Department of Fish and Game has, and so with that we need to not concur with what we did, so we can go back into conference committee and fix it and bring it back here shortly.
Any further discussion? Representative Petrillo?
Just as a member of that conference committee, I completely agree with the previous speaker. Thank you.
Motion before the body is to concur in the adoption, or is the adoption of the conference committee report for 127. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? And so the House has failed to concur to adopt the conference committee report on HB 127, and I would direct the conference committee, already appointed from the House, to try it again. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 101. And the member from District 25 will explain the changes made by the other body.
Without objection, we are in the limbo file. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. The change the Senate made was on, the other body made was on Section 5, page 3, lines 27, 28, 29. And they picked up something I never even thought of, and it says, in essence, if the charter school doesn't, because of budgetary reasons or whatever, able to receive the $500 per student in startup fee in 1 year, they can apply for the remainder in the second year. Good idea. I concur. Wish I'd thought of it. Encourage a yes vote. Thank you.
Representative Gass.
Mr. Speaker, I worked very hard with the sponsor on this bill. I think it's a very good bill and a very good change. Public school choice, I think one of the things that's really going to get us where we want to go in education. I'd be remiss, however, to not point out that this bill provides another $2 million that mainly focuses on urban Alaska.
Representative Gass. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much. And on that point, Mr. Speaker, I'd note that if we're going to retroactively give charter schools the grants, I wonder if the area cost differentials show that there's an inequity if we're going to redress those imbalances.
Any further discussion? Ready for the question. Question before the body. Shall the House concur in the Senate changes to Committee Substitute for HB 101 Finance, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 101 Hess? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
40 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for 101 Hess. Madam Majority Leader.
Yes, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date is adopted. Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I request that the members go into the limbo file so that they may consider the Senate substitute for House Bill 115, and the member from District 25 will explain the changes made by the other body.
Without objection, we have 115 in front of us.
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to indicate that the member from District 39 is going to explain the changes.
Representative Kapsner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The changes that were made in the other body were to bring this bill back to its original form. When this was in House Hess Committee, we included mental health professionals to the list of people who could sign petitions for involuntary commitment, and it made the bill very confusing. And it was confusing to the public, it was confusing to the members. So we just put it back to its original form, which basically what this does is it currently in this state, only physicians can sign medical certificates of necessity for treatment of individuals for alcohol and drug dependency. And what this bill does is it allows mid-level practitioners to sign those certificates. This does not mean that mid-level practitioners can involuntarily commit people. This means that they can sign the petitions that go before the judge who signs the involuntary commitment. This is a good bill. These were good changes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kapsner. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the changes in the Senate relieve me.
Other body.
Other body. I'm sorry. It relieved me of my anxiety because my wife can no longer commit me to a mental institution now.
Representative Dyson. Any further discussion? Question before the body is the concurrence of with Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute with HB 115 Hess. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 115 Hess. Madam Majority Leader?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
And then, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up as a special order of business in the House the resolution current resolution number 19, which should be on the members' desks, which is for a title amendment of the House Bill 115 that we just passed.
Motion before the body is the concurrent resolution to supply the title change to the bill that we just passed, SCR 19. Is there debate? Ready for the question? Question before the body is the passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution 19. Members may proceed to vote. With the clerk. Representative Bundy. Clerk, please lock the roll. Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution 19 has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Senate Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution number 23. And the member from District 32 will explain the changes.
Representative Coghill.
Thank you. If the members will look on the other body's version, page 1, line 6, If you look for, it says for provided for in the Constitution. The word in was not in our version. And so the eagle eye of the staff from the other state affairs caught that, and that's the only change, and I would concur.
Any further discussion of that radical change? If not, are we ready for the question? Question before the body is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 23, State Affairs? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes to Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 23, State Affairs. Thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 23, State Affairs.
Mr. Speaker?
Madam Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 172, and the member from District 11 will explain the changes in this bill.
Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker. Page 4, line 1, the other body added that the state may not consent to a referral under this subsection unless the state has consulted with the victim and explained the process and consequences. So it's a victim rights issue. On page 4, line 3, there was added additional language stating that an alleged crime has to have been committed within the venue district before it can be referred to the corresponding court within that venue in order for a defendant to be eligible for the treatment program under the therapeutic court supervision. This, Mr. Speaker, overcame some due process issues which were raised in the other body. On page 4, line 9, added an exemption for the crime of negligent homicide that would not be eligible for the court. On page 4, line 24, it added a reference to Court Rule 35, Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure, and this allows the court to consider and reduce the defendant's sentence upon compliance with the treatment plan. On page 5, line 11, additional language was the victim is entitled to periodic reports on the defendant's progress and participation in the court. On page 6, line 12, this decreases the numbers of judges within the 3rd Judicial District from 19 to 18 once the 3-year sunset of the pilot project is completed, but only for the 3rd Judicial District and not the 2nd. Adds a new section of uncodified law referring to the court rule change found in Section 1H. And on page 6, line 28, it did add a new section to the uncodified law stating that the new judge in the 4th Judicial District may not be appointed to take office or commence official duties before January 2nd, 2002. And then on page 7, line 5, is the effective date of June 30th, 2004. This is the Section 3, reducing number of Superior Court judges within the 3rd Judicial District. It kicks in there, and then it does add an effective date of the bill itself, July 1, 2001. With that, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask that we concur in the Senate changes.
Thank you, Representative Roper. Madam Majority Leader?
That's the list. Senate.
Oh, you have to make a motion to concur.
With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill number 172, Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Motion before the body. Shall the House concur in the Senate changes to Committee Substitute for HB 172, Finance amended, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for that bill? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 172, Finance. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask the move that the roll call on the bill be the roll call vote on the amending the rule change 35 on Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure.
Without objection, the court rule change is adopted. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the members of the House go into the limbo file and so that we may be able to consider Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 184, and the member from District 11 will explain the changes made by the other body.
In the limbo file, Representative Murkowski.
You'll note that I'm not the member from District 11. Surprise. The changes to House Bill 184 are really very minimal. What they have done is allowed for an exemption, if you will, for large commercial insurance sales from getting any prior approval through the Division of Insurance for rates and form filing requirements for certain large commercial insurance sales. As we understand, this was a division that was, it's an amendment that was supported by the division. It essentially requires to be done by regulation what is already required by order, so we just ask that it be included in the statutes there. And I would suggest that the members vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Murkowski. Representative James?
With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to the CS for House Bill number 184, Judiciary, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Motion before the body. Shall the House concur in the Senate changes this bill, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for HB 184, Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for HB 184, Judiciary. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 193.
Madam Majority Leader, I think we need a court rule motion on the previous bill.
Yes, there is. Okay, race that last one.
Last motion is withdrawn. Madam Majority Leader.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to...
Roll call vote on the...
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the bill be the roll call on the amending Rule 402, Alaska Rules of Evidence.
Without objection, the court rule changes have been adopted to HB 184. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that they may consider the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 193. And the member from District 32 will explain the changes.
Representative Coghill.
That's me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The changes in the other body were two. One was a cleanup on the very first page. The section 1513.110F changed the word primary to general. That was the kind of a cleanup language. The other substantive part was on page 4, section 6. The candidate seeking nomination would file the petition information according to 1525.040, which means they would have to file that just like any other candidate would, and then bring the petition in on the primary election day. So that would put their information on record under the section called Manner and Date of Filing Declaration. So I think it's a good change. I would ask that we concur.
Representative Coghill, Madam Majority Leader.
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to the CS for House Bill number 193, Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Motion before the body. Shall the House concur in the Senate changes to committee substitute for HB 193 Finance, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for HB 193 Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 193 Finance. Madam Majority Leader.
I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Representative Hayes.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, can I have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate Committee Substitute for CS for House Bill number 242, Finance, and the Rules Chairman explain the changes made by the other body.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The changes the other body made basically reflect the bill that we just passed, Senate Bill 149, when it comes to the TERS portion, as it relates to retention and retirement. If you remembered how you voted on that bill, you should be able to vote in support of this. The other change was the other change from when this bill went over, we reduced the number of years by one in which the bill, in that portion of the bill, would be sunsetted.
Representative Cott, Madam Majority Leader.
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur to the Senate amendments to the CS for House Bill number 242, Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Question before the body is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to committee substitute for HB 242, Finance, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for HB 242, Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, the House has concurred with the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 242, Finance. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 17, Resources, and the Rules Committee Chairman will explain the changes.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The other body in their infinite ability to tinker on page one of the resolution that came back to us, line 13, they removed the words Nikiski and Anchorage and inserted Alaska, so the modules could be built anywhere in the state if the company that ends up winning the competitive bid or the non-competitive bid decides to do so.
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to the CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 17, Resources, and recommend the members vote yes.
Question before the body is the adoption of the as concurrence with the Senate Committee Substitute for the Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 17, Judiciary. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, the House has concurred with the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 17, Judiciary. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 132, Finance, and the Judiciary Chairman will explain the changes made by the other body.
Representative Rookberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section 1 of the House bill was deleted, which related to the minimum amount of distilled spirits. Section 2 was amended to increase the presumptive amount for possession of distilled spirits from 6 to 10.5 liters. When the good senator from Bethel pointed out that was a six-pack of 1.75 liter bottles, which is the normal method of shipment out there. And then, Mr. Speaker, the same change was made in Section 9, and then the effective date was changed for Sections 10 through 15 to September 1, 2001, and the other effective dates remain the same. With that, that's the only changes. I recommend passage.
Representative James?
With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to the CS for House Bill Number 132, second rules, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Question before the body is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to committee substitute for House Bill 132, second rules, effective date amended, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for HB 132 finance? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for HB 132 finance. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Clauses are adopted. We have a letter of intent for this. Brief of these.
On House Bill 132, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the letter of intent.
Without objection, the letter of intent is adopted. At this time, we have reached a point of stoppage, so we will stand at ease at the call of the chair, and exactly how long that's going to be, I don't know, but I would recommend staying in the building. Without objection, I would like to return up the calendar to messages from the other body. We're under messages from the other body. Madam Clerk.
Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed and returned CS for House Bill 198, rules effective date add. A message dated May 8th stating the Senate has failed to receive from its amendments to CS for House Bill 65 Hess, namely Senate CS for House Bill 65 Hess, amended Senate. The President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the bill: Senator Green, Senator Taylor, and Senator Olson. Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill 102, Judiciary, with the following amendment: CS for House Bill 102, Judiciary, amended Senate, and its return for consideration. Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 76, Finance, with the following amendment: Senate CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 76, Finance, and its return for consideration. Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill 113, Hess, amended, with the following amendment: Senate CS for House Bill 113, Hess, and its return for consideration. Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill 121, Labor and Commerce, with the following amendment. Senate CS for House Bill 121, Judiciary, and its return for consideration. Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill 244, Finance, with the following amendment. Senate CS for House Bill 244, Finance, or Resources, excuse me. Message dated May 8th stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill 250, Finance, with the following amendment. Senate CS for House Bill 250, consideration. I have no further messages from the other body.
Do we have special committee reports?
The Conference Committee on House Bill 65 has met and request limited powers of free conference. The report was on page 1, line 9. The report was signed by Representative Dyson, Chair, Representatives Murkowski and Hayes, Senator Green, and Senator Taylor.
In conformance with the request of the Conference Committee, I will grant the limited free conference request so that we can get at what they've already done.
The Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference considering House Bill 65 recommends that committee substitute for House Bill 65 be adopted. The report was signed by Representative Dyson, Chair, Representatives Murkowski and Hayes, Senator Green, Senator Taylor, and Senator Olson. The Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference committing considering committee substitute for House Bill 127 rules and Senate CS for House Bill 127 transportation amended Senate recommends that the second conference committee substitute for House Bill 127 be adopted. The report was signed by Representative Harris, Chair, Representatives Bundy and Curtula, Senator Halford, Chair, and Senator Taylor, and Senator Olson. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I wonder if I can go down to special orders very, very briefly.
Without objection.
I wonder if I can talk about midnight.
Without objection.
Well, at midnight, we've got a birthday, Mr. Speaker, and hopefully we won't be here, but I did want to recognize the birthday that we do have starting at midnight, and that's my good friend from District 19. He sits in front of my very good friend from Angoon to my right here. He was born on May 9, 1956. I wonder if I could read his biography in his horoscope.
Without objection.
Uh-huh. His horoscope for today, he's a Taurus. And it says here, those around you, and especially those in front of you, test your limits. Giving others the benefit of a doubt will take all the grace and caring you can muster. Unexpected reactions might upset you profoundly. Just hang in there, and tonight, do your thing. Anyway, his biography here, it says here he signed a term limits pledge. He says he will serve no more than 8 years. And then he has, in parentheses, unless Roekberg's bill passes. He was born on May 9, 1956. He's 45 years old. In five more hours, Mr. Speaker, he was born in Beatrice, Nebraska. And it says when he was a child in Beatrice, Nebraska, he couldn't wait for the first snowfall. He would run to the door and yell, "Let me in, let me in." His wife is the beautiful Marty Meyer. We all see her every day here in the hallways. A beautiful little girl, Carly. Says here when he got married, he had to rent some shoes. He didn't have very much money, I guess. Anyway, he was making a commitment for a lifetime, and his shoes had to be back by 5:30. As a matter of fact, he had a terrible fight with Marty last New Year's Eve. She called him a procrastinator. So he finished addressing the Christmas cards and he left for Juneau. Lots of education, Mr. Speaker. He has a diploma from the University of Nebraska, one from the University of New Mexico, and he has a master's from Alaska Pacific University in Anchorage. says here he originally had a dual major, engineering and English, but he never completed the liberal arts degree because he already knew how to get a minimum wage job by himself. His hobby, study of government. He says that the whole idea of our government is this: if enough people get together and act in concert, they can take something and not pay for it. His statement, finally, he says, always keep your anger bottled up. You might need a bottle of anger someday when legislators come by to visit and they don't leave. I wonder if you could stand and help me sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kevin. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was hoping I would be able to get by and not have to go through this torture. You know, the last 4 months, I've learned a lot. It's been a real experience for me. I've met a lot of friends, all of you here, and certainly your staff and others. And at times, you know, we get frustrated and even a bit irritated, maybe at the minority leader, maybe at my good friend here from Palmer. But, you know, just when we start taking things too seriously and it's my good friend, representative from Nome, who brings us back to reality through his comic relief. And yes, I am glad that it's my birthday, but I'm really glad that the representative from Nome is in this body and not in the other body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Velcro.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert briefly up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Prachovich Gallery, I have a constituent. He's actually the manager of rural energy programs for ADA. Would the body please help me welcome Bruce Tiedemann?
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate committee substitute for a committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 76, and the Judiciary Chairman will tell us what the changes were made in this bill by the other body.
Brief adhesion. Representative Rookberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is the Alaska Psychiatric Institute bill that this body has taken up before, and the bill fared quite well in the other body, with one exception, Mr. Speaker. There was a change in the effective date. But, Mr. Speaker, included in the effective date was a contingency that required a federal appropriation of $15 million before the project could even start. Mr. Speaker, I'm asking this body to support the bill, but to vote negatively on the effective date. And the reason I'm doing that is this. The new facility needs to be constructed and up and operating so the patients from the existing facility can go in the new facility, and then we can demolish the old facility. So to be able to do this, it's a very simple chicken and egg thing. We need to start on the new building sooner than we can get the appropriation to knock it down. And we've been assured, I believe, that the monies are obtainable, but they might take a year or two. So this would stop the project for a number of years. So I'd ask the body to vote to concur and ask to vote no on the effective date.
Yeah, Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to the committee substitute or sponsor substitute for House Bill number 76 and request that they vote yes.
Representative Sisson, debate.
Thank you very much. I merely wanted to say that with the completion of this bill, an untold amount of personal energy, state and community resources are going to be freed up to worry about solving other problems that have been talked about a lot in this session, and this bill is as good as it can get. So it's yes on the bill and no on the effective date. Thank you.
Representative Sisson. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to committee substitute for SB, for sponsor substitute for HB 76 finance, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for HB 76 finance, and members may proceed to vote. Would clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the effective date.
The motion before the body is the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
4 yeas, 35 nays.
Until the effective date fails. Madam Majority Leader.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we might consider Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 102, Judiciary. And the Rules Chairman will give us the tell what the changes were made with the other, by the other body.
Representative Cott.
I am. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I look over the bill, looks like the only changes the other body made was they returned the amount listed in section one of the bill, lines 11. They returned that to $500. It left this body indicating it was $1,000. So, Mr. Speaker, that's the only change. We've returned it to $500 as the bill originally started off in this body, and with that, I would ask the members to concur with the changes made in the dark side.
With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill Number 102 and recommend that the members vote yes.
Any further discussion? Motion for the body is the concurrence with the Senate changes, thus adopting committee substitute for HB 102 Judiciary amended Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
And so the House has concurred and consequently adopted committee substitute for HB 102 Judiciary amended Senate. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate committee substitute for House Bill Number 113, Hess, and the representative from District 10 will describe the changes made by the other body.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The changes were relatively minor. Page 2, line 20, the words or deny in the middle of the sentence were added so that there wouldn't be any automatic demand for payment if, in fact, the claim was denied. And on line 25 is just a parallel statement there to add or is denied. On page 2, lines 29 and 31, there was some wording rearranging, but it didn't change the effect of the sentence. On page 3, lines 1 and 13, there was an effective date change to July 1st, 2002, even though the effective date of the bill is January 1st, 2002, and this was in an effort to allow insurance companies a little more time to get their act together so that they could make automatic payments for file by email. And then finally, on page 4, lines 19 to 21, there was a minimum $1 fee so that if the interest accrued is less than $1, the insurance company would not have to pay. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I would move that the members adopt the Senate changes.
Madam Majority Leader.
Yes, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill Number 113 and recommend that the members vote yes.
Question before the body is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to committee substitute for HB 113 amended, Hess amended? Would
Members, please proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 1 nay.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 113 Hess. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
There's an objection to the effective date? Brief it is. Remove you. Hearing no objection, the effective date on HB 113 has been adopted. Representative James.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 121, Labor and Commerce, and the representative from District 14 will describe the changes that were made by the other body.
Representative Murkowski. Brief it is. Discussion of the changes that the other body made to HB 121. Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I was asleep at the switch here. In the version that came across from the other side on the fourth page, you will see at beginning at line 3, you'll see language there that goes into the requirements of a qualified charitable gift annuity. In addition to the $300,000 unrestricted cash, you have to have 3 years of continuous operation, or you can have a guarantee that the obligations of the contract will be underwritten, if you will, or guaranteed by a qualified charitable gift organization. In other words, if United Way wanted to guarantee the financial backing for a charity that didn't meet the $300,000 minimum cash requirement, they could do so. It's one of those situations that will probably not bear fruit, but we've made an allowance for it, and I would urge the members' concurrence.
Representative Murkowski. Representative James.
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the CS for House Bill Number 121, Labor and Commerce, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Ready for the question. Question before the body. Shall the House concur in the Senate changes to committee substitute for HB 121, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred with the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 121 Judiciary. Madam Majority.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate Committee Substitute for Senate CS for a CS for House Bill Number 244, Resources, and I will explain the changes that were made by the other body. If you look on page of the other body's substitute, on page 2, you'll see that lines 12 through 14, in that paragraph, they added in the definition of the legal description of the property we're talking about. The following paragraph was added together with the previous one and put in a September 1, 2001 date when all of the valid property rights in the land shall be determined by the Department of Natural Resources. Then on line 19, by September 1, 2010, the Denali Borough shall lease the land received under this to a person, not necessarily any one entity, for a railroad, and otherwise the title to the land granted under this section reverts to the state, and those are all good changes that made a good bill better, and I appreciate the changes and would like to have people vote yes. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to CS for House Bill Number 244, Resources, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Is there discussion? Representative Cartula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, on the rule on concurrence, I concur with the changes, so I'm going to vote yes, whether or not I have issue with some of the underlying issues in the bill. Thank you.
Representative Cotulla. Any further discussion? You ready for the question? The question before the body, shall the House concur in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for CS for HB 244 resources? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred with the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for HB 244 Resources. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Madam Majority, Brevities. Back to order. Madam Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 250, Finance. And the member from Ketchikan will explain the changes in the other body.
Thank you.
Attorney Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The other body's amendments are minor. Are minor and reflect issues that had not been resolved when it was in finance, and the bill reflects that through the cooperative efforts of both subcommittees on both sides, we fixed the problem. Whatever it may have been. I recommend a yes vote on concurrence.
With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur with the Senate amendments to the CS for House Bill Number 250, Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Mr. Minority Leader.
In order to be somewhat bothersome, I was wondering if perhaps we could be, there could be some explanation as to what those changes might be, trusting as I am of the other body and all.
Representative Williams. Brief at ease. Please come back to order. With a little fuller description of the changes, Representative Williams.
The first change is on page 48, lines 31-32, delete all material and insert the language that says basically for the Department of Revenue, it defined, identified 1 and 5 year investment strategy measures. For number 2, page 11, delete lines 22 through 23 and insert what you have left there, missions. Basically what it does is for ASME, it focuses on increasing worldwide consumption. Number 3, Department of Education, page 20, delete lines 7 through 9. For Department of Education, focuses on access. Department of Education, Post-Secondary Commission, focuses on loans at less than private, I can't think right now. What's the rates, private rates. For the fish and game, number 5, is recommend not using the angler days that are for a measurement.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Any further discussion? Representative James?
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to CS for House Bill Number 250, Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Further discussion? Ready for the question. Question before the body is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 250 Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
35 yeas, 3 nays.
And so the House has concurred with the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 250 Finance. Madam Majority Leader.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the body go into the limbo file and take the conference committee report on conference committee CS for House Bill 65. The title of that is an act relating to new optional group of persons eligible for medical assistance who require treatment for breast or cervical cancer and providing for an effective date. And I move approval of the conference committee report on CS for HB 65.
Motion for the body is the approval of the conference committee report on conference committee HB 65. Is there a discussion? Representative Hayes. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we did in conference was to add material, I think it's after line 10 on page 1, and all this does is grandfather, interesting expression, grandmother in the those women who become patients during the period before the sunset clause. So if they've been diagnosed or begin treatment before that period, and if indeed we do not continue to reenact this or remove the sunset, then they will be treated and be able to continue the protocols that they start. I would really encourage concurrence.
Representative Dyson. Representative Gass.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a good change, but I guess I just see a colossal waste of money in two ways. One, we end up after 2 years paying for what the federal government would pay. And that's still, I think, a problem we should deal with. I don't think it's a fiscally responsible thing to do, and although it might not bind future legislators, I think it's unfortunate. The second one is the report that I was sorry to see still stayed in. You know, it's funny, especially my friends from District 26 and 27 always talk about government and the use of money. Now we're taking on research. I mean, if we really care about what causes breast cancer, let's do an appropriation to NIH. Why are we studying it? If you really want a lit review, which is the first thing, then let's ask ICER to do it or have a staffer do it in the interim. That's all the first one is a literature review. I just, you know, we sit here and we argue about money all day, and we're going to spend money on something that I don't know. As a state, we're taking on a research capability that a university would do, that the NIH would do. And I think, nothing personal to the person who wanted this, I don't think we're going to find out why we get breast and cervical cancer through this. And so I'm not sure why we're putting money towards it. And for those reasons, I'm sorry, I can't concur. I just think it's wrong, both of those.
Representative Gass. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. My delightful friend from Mountain View raised an interesting question, and that is, that I should have mentioned, if indeed the service does terminate with the sunset clause in 2 years, we have, by passing what we have before us tonight, obligated ourselves to care for the women who are Medicaid eligible and have been diagnosed and to pay for their treatment. And it does indeed obligate us to do so if, and what I think is probably unlikely, that we do not extend this program or remove the sunset in 2+ years. To the second question, my understanding, and I'm defending something I didn't originate here, but is what this report does is just gather data that's already been gathering, and in during the hearings on the other side, got it right for once tonight. I was thinking if I made a mistake on that, you might send me home, Mr. Speaker, as punishment.
No such luck.
But anyways, all it does, and in fact, the data is probably available, and the correlating to looking for causes, either lifestyle, environmental, or whatever, has not been gathered. And my understanding was that department thought it could be useful, and that it might be we might find something. And certainly, to have the data and not be using it when it's somewhat readily available probably is not wise. Anyways, I would encourage us to pass it as it stands. Thank you.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease.
Is there further discussion on the adoption of the conference committee report? Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There was considerable discussion during the break about the report that will come to the legislature. And I know that many people were concerned. You may have read previous versions from the other side. You may have read articles in the newspaper about what it required. And I would like to give certain assurances that this reporting requirement is not the invasive personal information gathering that at one point in time was under discussion. The report to the legislature is through the Department of Health and Social Services, through the Breast Cancer Cervical Screening Program, as I understand it, there will be a compilation of information. And in fact, they will be looking to peer review clinical studies that discuss the environmental, behavioral, or genetic factors that may be associated with breast or cervical cancer. But the information that they're gathering is not from these women that may be receiving these benefits. It is looking at and compiling and reviewing peer-reviewed clinical studies published in periodical medical literature. We are not using these women and taking their personal information. I would like to assure the members of that. We're also looking to summary information from the cancer registry. So again, there's a real disconnect between these women that are going to be receiving these monies and the information that is gathering. It is a more it's a more methodical analysis of academic analysis. I knew I'd get it from the professor. If the concern is there that we will be asking personal information of these women, that is not the case. As I understand, the information that will be requested will be whether or not there is other insurance that the woman may have, and the department will be looking to the billing information to kind of track the costs on that. I would like to follow up with what Representative from Eagle River said and make it clear to the body that they understand that once this sunset period, or 2 years after the effective date of this legislation, there will be no new women admitted to the program as this bill stands now. But those that are participating in it, receiving money, if they're at any process of their treatment, if they had gone into remission and it comes back up a year later, we, the state, are on the hook 100%. We're no longer doing the 70-30 deal. We're on the hook 100%. That was brought up in conference committee. Everybody understood that was the state's obligation and that we were accepting that obligation. I would like to assure the members that one of the reasons that I supported this as a member of that conference committee was recognizing that once this gets on the books, it's essentially going to be there, and we're going to be taking care of the women who do qualify. And I am extremely hopeful that in a year and a half, when we are looking at this again, there will be no doubt but that we will continue the treatment for these women with breast and cervical cancer.
Thank you, Representative Murkowski. Representative Cotullo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because of something that's going to happen in a minute after we vote on this, I'm going to support this legislation, And I'm also going to personally commit to working to remove the sunset clause. I don't really think any of us in this body truly want to see a program that's going to save women's lives end. And with that, I'm going to support this because I don't believe in cutting off my nose despite my face. I want to see the women covered. I don't want to see a sunset. I'm going to concur with what's going to happen next. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Cotillo. Representative Guest.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to thank the member from Government Hill for explaining the research part. I think it makes me at least feel a lot better. I still don't know if it's the best use of resources, but at least it's not trying to do what I think NIH does. And I would also like to thank the body for what just got passed out, which makes me at least be able to concur. I did want to, and I just have to put my researcher wonk hat on for a second to my friend from Eagle River. It's really important when we start looking at stuff to remember that correlation does not mean causation.
Representative Guest. Any further discussion? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just need to claim a conflict. The company that I work for sells cancer insurance, so thank you.
Thank you. We'll be required to vote. Any further discussion? Are we ready for the question? Question before the body is the adoption of the Conference Committee report for HB 65. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Crawford? Any other member? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 3 nays.
And so we have adopted the Conference Committee report on HB 65. Would anyone like to offer this? Representative Murkowski.
Mr. Speaker, I would move that we adopt the sense of the House that's before the members.
Is there? Yeah. There is objection. Discussion? Representative Murkowski.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. When I stood a few moments ago, I believe I made the statement that I had signed off with regards to the conference committee because I fully believed that we would, in 2 years, be ensuring that these women who do have breast and cervical cancer will be continued to be cared for or remain part of the program. And I do intend to do what I can do to make sure that that happens. And I think that the message that we send today is that we recognize that passage or concurrence of the legislation that just went before us is important so that this program move forward. But I think it's also important that we recognize that we feel very strongly about keeping the commitment that we're making to these women in this and the treatment of breast and cervical cancer.
Representative Wilson and then McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would heartily agree with this. I don't know how we can even think of saying to some women, well, I'm sorry, but because your cancer was diagnosed after this timeline, we can't guarantee anything. I don't know how we can start something and then stop it in the middle like that.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If it's the right thing to do today, it's the right thing to do in 2 years. Nothing is going to change in 2 years. No matter what we know about what causes breast cancer or cervical cancer, it's still the right thing to do.
Representative McGuire. Any further discussion? Representative Hogan.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I was missed the first sense of the House of the Year, and here we are at the second sense. And I remember a gentleman to my left that moved a whole bunch of them a few years ago, and you know, I just kind of have to. I know what you're trying to do here, and it's a good thing, but if we start setting precedences, we can tie up the whole legislative session with senses of the House, and I could think of some that I'd love to put out there just to get a voting record on people. So I vote no because I don't think it's a good idea to start going down this path again. Thanks.
Representative Ogre. Any further discussion? Representative Dyson?
Yeah, thank you. I probably am going to vote yes on this because once we've started down this path and so on, probably need to do it. But as my interesting friend who is chairman of the other body's judiciary committee pointed out very astutely, is this kind of screening isn't available to all the rest of the women in the state. And that's an issue I'm going to work on, and I think deserves our attention. Thank you.
Representative Dyson. Representative James?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I, too, don't really like a sense of the House issue. It's put before you, and I think I feel trapped a lot of times when you put this in, and I'm comfortable with the CS that does have a two-year sunset, and that's the next legislature that will be here at that time, and I can't believe that they won't extend it. And having said that, we have no idea how much this is going to cost. We don't have any idea how many people are going to be on the fringe, and that's the problem. Every time that you put out a program for a certain amount of people, then there's always a cutoff, and then here's someone over here just over the edge, and they don't get it. I don't even know if this is the right amount to do. This is a new area that we're getting into, and it certainly is a very valid one. Certainly, these cancers are very, very difficult, and it's a terrible thing when people can't have any financial way to take care of themselves. All of those things I agree to. But I think that taking this issue and saying it's a sense of the House and let me vote no on this, which I'm going to do, that means I don't care a hoot. It certainly doesn't mean that. It means that I think this is a sensible thing to do, and 2 years probably will extend it. And by that time, we'll know what the consequences are. We'll be in another budget cycle, and we'll be able to see what we need to do, if we need to amend the bill or if we need to extend the bill or just exactly what we need to do. And I think that's a wise choice, and so I'm going to be voting no on the sense of the House.
Representative James. Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Speaker. I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of the Majority Leader. A matter of caring, certainly. The sense of the House, certainly, the idea of going on and keeping the program, I think it was already said that once the program gets on the books, then the chances of it continuing are well. And at the risk of sounding uncaring, I've been one that has been very critical of the growth of entitlement programs. This is probably one of the more worthy ones. In my view, on some of the lists that this is going to take its place in, probably more worthy than many others. But the idea is that the federal money that is coming with this certainly has its own time limit on it. We have some guarantees verbally that it will continue. But I think also we need to look once again at the state responsibility, because once we've put it into law, then it becomes a state responsibility, which we've done. And I think that it certainly is not going to hurt to look at the study, the peer review study, and examine once again what this legislature wants to do with regard to a Medicaid entitlement, because that's exactly where we're going, and to fool ourselves that it isn't. Now, lest anybody accuse me of being callous, we have already decided in this state that many areas will be granted people by way of entitlement for medical care. And pulling back that issue is always a hard issue to do. And it's always at the risk of saying that you're callous. But how far can we go, Mr. Speaker, and how far we can go, how can we go, my fellow legislators, in creating a social medical model? And that's exactly what we're doing here. This is not about detecting. This is not about helping people get help. This is about providing the help. And it's setting more precedent. And we're going to go down that road that later on we're going to have a hard time pulling ourselves out of unless we totally collapse economically. So I'm always reluctant to go down these roads, and I'm going to vote no against the sense of the House because I think it's wise to bring it up for review again.
Representative Cotillo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We know women are dying. A study is not going to change that. These are women who know they have cancer but can't afford treatment. We've heard the most touching testimony I've ever heard from friends of these women, women who chose to pay for their mortgages instead of their medical treatment, women who've left families. A sunset is the wrong thing to do. That one day after a law goes out of effect, we say to any woman who comes to us that that's just it. It's over. I was willing to go along and concur, and this is why. It's because it's the right thing to do to keep this in front of us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you for that wrap-up. Ready for the question? The question before the body is the adoption of the consent of the House regarding HB 65. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
32 yeas, 5 nays.
So the censure of the House is adopted. Brevities.
Mr. Speaker, I move I don't remember what it was, but there was enough votes on House on the Conference Committee for House Bill 65 to have the roll call on the bill be the roll call on the effective date. And
without objection, the effective date on the roll call vote is applied, and we have adopted the effective date for HB 65. Representative Berkowitz?
I assume we're about to take a break here, Mr. Speaker.
We've got one more conference committee report, very short, I hope, and then we're going to take the break, and Representative Capser is going to give us that opportunity. Madam Majority Leader.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Conference Committee report and the second Conference Committee report for House Bill 127.
Without objection, we have the Conference Committee report before us.
Then I would move for adoption of the Conference Committee report.
Is there discussion? Representative Harris.
Very briefly, Mr. Speaker. We went back into the second conference committee at the request of the Department of Fish and Game. On page 3, lines 15 and 16, we've inserted back the areas in Title 16 that deal with the Fish and Game's ability to close or restrict areas to aircraft landing due to various different things that they might, protection of habitat or whatever, and they requested that. And so we did that, and I think we have full concurrence from all the departments finally now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Motion before the body is the concurrence with the second committee substitute, or conference committee substitute for House Bill 127.